Blog Talk Radio.
Holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here to conduct our lesson this evening in basic theology. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says,
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. My shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory.
Hallelujah. the praise number. He's worthy of our praise. Begin to worship his name today. The angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before him. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name.
Amen. Praise be to God. Elohi Chasidi. Chasidi. God of mercy. In Psalms 59 and 10, my God, Elohim, in his loving kindness, Chasidi, will meet me. God will let me know triumphantly upon my foes. Amen. The reading of the word. Elohim Chasidi, you know how I am formed. You remember that I am dust. In your loving kindness, you showed me mercy. From everlasting to everlasting, your love is with those who fear you, and your righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep your covenant, Elohim Chasidi. You show favor to your people, and you have restored many from captivity. You have forgiven my iniquities and covered all of my sin. In your mercy, you have withdrawn your fury and turned away from your burning anger. Surely your salvation is near to those who fear you, that your glory may dwell in our hearts and in our land. Your loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. For that, I praise your name in Jesus' holy name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Barbara A. Amore will be here with our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you are greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you are greater. Greater than all,
Amen. Praise be to God. Elohim Chastity. I confess that sometimes I make light of your mercy. Because of your mercy, I have been given second chance after second chance. You have shown me forgiveness and withheld the full consequences that my action deserves. Forgive me for not acknowledging the power of your mercy, for not remembering what you have spared me from, and for not giving you the full devotion of my heart. Restore me, Elohim Chastity, for you have turned your indignation away from me. Revive me again, that I may rejoice in you, God of my mercy. God of mercy. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, it is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, What's on Your Mind? And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Proverbs 23, verse 7. And it says, as he thinks within himself, so he is. The writer says, have you ever considered what an amazing creation your mind is? Who you are and what you become are largely affected by how you think. Because from your thoughts flow your feelings, words, attitudes, and behavior. This is why you must guard against the world's influence so you don't find yourself squeezed into its destructive mold. This is also the reason God calls for the renewing of your mind, Romans 12 and 2. Allowing your deliberations to be aligned with his word and controlled by his spirit. When the Lord has authority over your thinking, he will teach you discernment, empowering you to look beyond the surface of issues and see situations as they really are. This allows you to distinguish beyond right and wrong to what is his very best for you. Amen? Your renewed mind begins with surrender to the Savior. Until you give Jesus full authority over your thoughts, taking them captive to him, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. You'll have no power to clear out the clutter that hinders you from living in the fullness of his will. But as you yield to him and fill your mind with his word, he'll transform your life for good. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Jesus, I take my thoughts captive to you. Speak to me through your word and guide your spirit and guide by your spirit. Amen. Amen and amen. To God be the glory. I hope and pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, I will play another selection.
I am the creator, I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, our maker, your destiny, and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop this.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hands. And if you believe on my word,
yeah.
moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Racking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but
I am.
And say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but one more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can lift him.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. Just let me be who I am. Elohim Cassidy, which means God of mercy. Thank you for showing me your loving kindness. Thank you for granting me salvation, not only from eternity, but also in history. Thank you for speaking peace and mercy to your people, to your godly ones. Thank you for showing me mercy and empowering me to turn away from folly. I'm grateful that your truth and mercy springs from the earth and that your compassion looks down from heaven. Indeed, Elohim Chastity, you will give what is good for me, and my life will yield its produce. Mercy and peace go before you, preparing a path that I can follow. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
La, da, 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 da. He walks again. He talks again. He lives again. He's raised from the dead. He spoke to me. He called to me. Go to Galilee and see. He's raised from the dead. And he brings forgiveness of sins to redeem us.
a call to repentance is His glory. Tell the story. All authority is His. He's raised from the dead, came to fill us with His Holy Spirit, a resurrected Savior, ascended to heaven, and He brings His righteousness and His grace to redeem us. A call to repentance, it's His glory. Tell the story. All authority is His. He's raised from the dead, came to fill us with His Holy Spirit, a resurrected Savior, ascended to heaven. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. He's raised from the dead. I have
Jesus.
Escapes my mind, the grace you've shown towards me. I just can't believe how you never turned away when I pushed you far away. You're the light that breathes through me. Now I've been set free.
There are no words to
follow me. I still can't believe how you never let me go, how you never lost your home. You keep proving your love to me. Ever write a book I could ever read.
Amen. Elohim Chastity, in your mercy and compassion, you have given me great and powerful promises. You enable me to share your divine nature and escape the world's corruption and the consequences of following my fleshly desires. Your mercy equips me to live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Through the gift of your mercy, grant me peace of mind and heart so I will not be troubled or afraid. Your gift is from above, and it is not as the world gives. It is everlasting, and it is authentic. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. Move me, Lord.
Move me, Lord. Yeah, take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah, from this place where I'm at. Yeah, I need an answer, and you know all the facts. I'm done all I can, tired of making mistakes, over and over again. So I'm calling on you, and you always know what to do. So I'm praying to be, when I get up, I'll stand in victory. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Take away the hurt, when I can't seem to make it work. I've done all that I can. Turn on your word, I'm ready to stand. So I'm hearing your voice in silence. And a melody, yeah. So I'm flowing in your will. All that I am, I have to fulfill. Oh, move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Move me, Lord. Yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me. Yeah. Move me, Lord. Yeah. Take full full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah. Move me, Lord, yeah. Take full control of me. Show me the way to go. Use me and move me, yeah.
I wanna be more.
praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. Now it is time for our lesson. And at this time, our very own Barbara A. Amore is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Basic Theology by Charles C. Ryrie. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this evening?
Oh, good evening. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed and I will not complain with everything going on in my life. God is there beside me to guide me each step of the way.
Yes, he is. Thank God. Anyone else on the line so far?
No, just you and I so far.
We're going to get started. I'll open in prayer.
Amen.
Precious Lord, we come to you as humble as we know how. I want to say thank you. Lord God, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us on our way, giving us strength for the struggle, allowing us to see a day we've never seen before. We thank you for the rain, Lord God. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the summer, and we thank you for the change of the season. So, God, we just thank you for everything. We appreciate you, Lord God, all the things that you are, all that you will ever be, all that you made us to be, and all that we will ever be. We thank you for your faithfulness, your unconditional love, your grace and mercy, your kindness, your compassion, your generosity, Lord God, your favor. We thank you for everything, everything, Lord God. And if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Lord, forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission, and allow us to love one another as you would have us be loved. And I thank you again for everything, Lord God, everything. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to go into our lesson teaching concerning sin. Chapter 35, we're at section C. And we're going to take our time with this also, as we did last time. I think we only got like two paragraphs.
Amen.
But that's okay.
Amen.
Okay. And we did have homework, so I'm going to, like, try to stop a little earlier and go over that. All right. Section C, wrong inward attitudes. What do you think that means?
Wrong inward attitude. I guess something that we do wrong inside, but we don't act on it, but we're like thinking about it.
All right.
Something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Outward actions bespeak inner attitudes and character, and the Lord often put his finger on the inward root of sin. Notice Luke 12:13-15 and Matthew 20:20-22. So the things that we display outwardly talks about the attitudes and our character.
Mm-hmm.
So we may say one thing and do another.
Okay.
And that can even verge on being hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know, you may try to tell somebody what to do, but you're not doing the right thing. You try to tell them the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And your attitude, your outward attitude is different from your inner attitude. So you know what to do.
Right.
But inwardly, often when you're away from them, You do exactly contrary to what it is that you're telling them about. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at Luke 12, 13 through 15.
Okay. No, that's something. Okay. I got it. I just had to take something off my computer because she was popping up all kinds of stuff. So that's Luke 12 and 13. Okay, so Luke 12, 13 said, Jesus tells the parable of the rich fool. Then someone called from the crowd, Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.
All right. Any thoughts about that?
Well, I mean, the thing is that the more you have is like the more you want. Because if he and his brother has the same amount, why would he want his brother to divide the father's estate? They both have equal shares in the father's estate. But it seemed like one of the brothers who wanted more than just his share. He also wanted the brother's share.
Really?
That's what I get from it. Let's see.
Read that one more time. I didn't get that from what you read.
Okay. Verse 13. Then someone called from the crowd, Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. And Jesus replied, Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that? Then he said, Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. O-W-N, own.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what I'm seeing is that this one brother in the crowd called out to Jesus saying to order his brother to give him a fair share of the family inheritance. So in that case, he didn't have the same amount as the other brother.
Okay.
All right? So he's asking for a fair share of the family inheritance. And we know how that happens, too. And, you know, our own family sometimes, people are supposedly in charge. They're the, what do you call that, the, oh, goodness.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. I know the word, but I can't think of it.
Anyway, we'll come back to that thought, but
yeah,
they're the ones in charge of it because the person that may be, you know, incapacitated doesn't have their full faculty. Power of attorney, that's what I was looking for. They may have the power of attorney. And in so doing, they're supposed to be carrying out the wishes of the incapacitated person. But in this case, seems like one brother was taking more than he was entitled to. Therefore, there was a discussion of the other brother talking to Jesus, saying, Teacher, tell my brother to give me my fair share. In other words, it was not fair. It was not equal. And then Jesus said, well, who am I? I'm going to get involved in your business, you know. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go on to Matthew 20, verses 20 through 22.
Matthew's 20, 22. 20 to 22. Okay, Jesus teaches about serving others. Then the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus with her sons. She knelt respectfully to ask a favor. "What is your request?" Jesus asked. She replied, "In your kingdom, please let my two sons sit in place of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left." But Jesus answered by saying to them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I am about to drink?" "Oh, yes," they replied. "We are able." Yeah, right. There's no way that they could withstand the torture that Jesus went through. No way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that mother, in this case,
mm-hmm.
What about her?
Well, she wanted them to be one on one side and one on the other side with Jesus. But that's when she respectfully, you know, she wanted her sons to be in high position.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And so she was the one with the wrong attitude.
Right.
She didn't understand what she was asking because, as you read, Jesus said to them,
mm-hmm.
"Can you drink from this cup as I'm doing?
Uh-huh.
Can you sacrifice your life on the cross as I'm about to do?" No, you can't.
No.
So, you know, you have the wrong attitude.
Yes.
Amen.
They
should have been humble.
Yes.
They should have been humble.
And maybe they were. The mother wasn't. The mother was seemed like she wanted them, you know, to be in higher power, but they
mm-hmm.
didn't.
Right.
They didn't deserve that power. They didn't do no work to get that kind of power to sit on each side of Jesus. Only
mm-hmm.
the Father could do that. Even Jesus
yes.
didn't have authority to tell them, "Yes, you can mm-hmm. sit on my two sides." You know.
Right. Exactly. So the mother should have been a little more humble.
Humble.
She needed
yes.
really to change her attitude.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to section D. Leaven. What is leaven? L-E-A-V-E-N.
Is it the bread? Leaven without any, I don't know. I when I hear leaven, it just reminds me of the bread. But I know that's
okay.
not what it is.
Leaven is the yeast in the bread that causes it to rise.
Okay.
So when they're having Passover, they have to get rid of all the bread that has leaven in it. That's
yes.
why you see the matzah. The
uh-huh.
matzah is flat. So
yep.
it's bread that does not rise. And that's why when they left Egypt, they were not able to do that. They had to go without the leaven. And so they were, you know, baking unleavened bread.
Right.
You know, bread without yeast in it. That was a quicker way to do what they needed to do. And apparently it became a tradition of their
uh-huh.
culture. I don't know about them having it prior to.
Uh-huh.
But we know that the leaven is something that causes the bread to rise. And that
to rise. But isn't it mm-hmm. also what keeps the bread from spoiling faster?
That's preservative.
Ah.
But the leaven causes it to rise. And we can bake rolls and you have to put your yeast in it for it to rise like it needs to.
Yeah.
You know? So let's go. Everywhere in the Bible, leaven typifies the presence of impurity or
mm-hmm.
evil. though some understand Matthew 13 and 33 to be an exception, when leaven indicates the growth of the kingdom through the power of the gospel. However, unquestionably, when Christ warned of the leaven of the Pharisees or Sadducees or Herodians, he was referring to something sinful. So let's take a look at Matthew 13 and 33.
Oh, yeah. Wow. 13 and 33 says, wow. Jesus tells the parable of the yeast. Jesus also used this illustration. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough.
Mm-hmm.
So even though, he's saying that even though she puts only a little bit, and that's how fast yeast will rise the dough to make it look like more than what it really is.
Mm-hmm. It fills it out. It makes it, fluffy. I don't know so much flaky, but it rises. It causes it to rise. And our bread that we...
I remember when my grandmother used to make bread, and she would put the yeast in it and, you know, leave it overnight. So when she got up in the morning and she made them beautiful biscuits out of that yeast, she just squeezed just a little bit through her fingers, you know, and then she ground it off and spat it down and put it in there. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, they were the most delicious biscuits you ever want to eat.
Oh,
when
wow.
We used to eat them with molasses. Yeah, it was so good.
I remember when my mother used to make rolls.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the, I think they used to call them tip-top rolls, where they were 2.
Yes.
But hers were like a 3-leaf clover. I think she made them with like 3 little domes.
Yes.
But she would, I would see her do, I didn't watch her through the whole process, but I know she would put the yeast in the flour or whatever, the dough, and cover it with a towel.
Right.
And then sometime later, she would form it into the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And bake them, and this is so good. Homemade rolls?
Oh, girl.
With the butter. And, I remember my mother doing that. So God rest her soul.
Amen.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you.
Yes. So we are talking about that leaven, again, that yeast.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, it only takes a little bit.
Yes.
It only takes a little bit to cause the dough to rise. So section 1 of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees was externalism. What does that mean?
Externalism. External. Inner?
So the evil, the evil of the Pharisees, and they're looking at leaven as being sinful. So the sinfulness of the Pharisees was externalism. What does that mean to you before we get into that whole thing?
So they would look like they're good on the outside, but inside, there you go.
Yes. Exactly. They would do things externally, seemingly, correctly, but behind closed doors, as it says, you wash the exterior of the cup, but the inside is nasty. You know, you haven't cleaned the inside, which is the inside of yourself. You know, you do those outer things, those outward things that look so good, so like it ought to be, but inside, you're not clean. So though outwardly they were righteous, as we see in Matthew 5 and 20, knowledgeable about the scriptures, tithers, those who fasted and prayed, inwardly they were unclean. And our Lord denounced their leaven of hypocrisy. So again, the leaven is referred to here as evil. We lack it in our biscuits and our rolls.
Yes.
But when we're talking about the leaven in the Bible, in this sense, it's something that is sinful. All right?
Yes.
So let's go to Matthew 5 and 20, at verse 5 and 20. Not a scripture reading here.
5 and 20 says, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. So he's talking about the money. So this is about this 19 and 20 to 19 through 24. He's talking about just about money. So he's saying, don't store up treasures on earth where the moth eats them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. But store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. So like a lot of us, you know, we store all our treasures down here on earth, and then what happens? A thief breaks in and steals everything that you done worked so hard and saved up. And that's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven.
All right.
And everything that we need, he will give
it unto you. Yes, everything. All other things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen. Yes.
So they were righteous, knowledgeable about the scriptures. Let's look at Matthew 23 and 2.
Okay. Okay, this is, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses.
So okay.
They didn't want to follow what Jesus was teaching them. They wanted to follow the laws of Moses. So
that
when Jesus was trying to teach, he said to the crowd, you know, like the Pharisees and them are following the laws of Moses. And, you know, right then, he was in a new era. So he didn't come to change the law, but to fulfill the law.
And so what was wrong with the Pharisees following the teachings on Moses? I'll just read this.
They wanted to follow the Ten Commandments, or they didn't want to follow it. I'm not sure.
Okay. Again, we're talking about that leaven. And where Pharisees' case, they had the exterior, the external signs of being correct or righteous, where inwardly they were like filthy rags. Okay? So this says, now Jesus, this is 1 and 2. Well, okay, 1 through 3, I'm sorry. Religious fashion shows. Now Jesus turned to address his disciples, along with the crowd that had gathered with them. He says, the religion scholars and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law, so they were qualified. You won't go wrong in following their teachings on Moses, but be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take it into their heart and live it out in their behavior. It's all spit and polished veneer.
Mm.
All right? Again, talking about that exterior, it looks right.
Yes.
But inwardly, they're not doing it. They're not doing what they're teaching others to do.
Yeah. That's why Jesus
that's the problem.
Hypocrites?
That's the problem, yes. That's a hypocrite. That's a hypocrite.
Okay.
All right, saying one thing and doing another, trying to tell somebody the right way to do things, and you're not doing them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yep. And it looks like you're doing it right, but you're not.
Right.
You're not. And so let's take a look at tithers. That was knowledgeable about the scriptures. So they say the Pharisees, the word says the Pharisees were knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
They were tithers. Let's look at Luke 18 and 12.
Okay. 13, 14, 15, 16, 18. Okay, 18 and 12. 11, 12. Okay, so Jesus was speaking. Jesus tells the parable of two men who prayed. And 12 says, I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Amen.
All right. All right. And as you said, it says, and I'll read it. It's 9 to 12, but I'll just try to get to 12. The Pharisee, two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax man. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this. Oh, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid, like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income. So, yeah, they do the tithing and all of that. But again, something's missing. They got that sinfulness about themselves.
It's
all right?
All show.
It's all show.
Yes.
Those who fasted, Matthew 9 and 14.
Okay. Okay. For there were about 5,000 men there. Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. Amen. So 13 says, but Jesus said, you feed them. So he was talking to the disciples because they were telling him no food to feed all these people. So Jesus told them, but we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, they answered. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd?
For
there were about 5,000 men there. Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of 50 each. So the people all sat down. So they did what Jesus told him to do.
Right.
And he fed them.
Right, that's about, and he fed them. And plus the wives and the children.
Exactly.
Which weren't counted in the number of the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more than 5,000. So that was about the fasting.
Yes.
Now, and praise. Luke 18 and 11.
18:14.
Talk about those sinful natures. 18 and 11.
Jesus speaking still. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat. I don't sin.
and I don't commit adultery. I'm not like that tax collector. Or you could say something like that.
He thought he was saying what was right.
Than the tax collector.
But he didn't, huh?
I said the Pharisee, he was worse than the tax collector because everything he said was a lie.
Exactly. It's not true. Outwardly,
right.
Seemingly so. But inwardly, you realize, no, that's not how it really was.
Exactly.
So, inwardly, they were unclean, and our Lord denounced their leaven of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 23:14 and 26 and then 29. And then we look at Mark.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Matthew
22. Okay. 29. No, go back to Matthew. So I'm back in Luke. Matthew.
23 and 14.
Yes, ma'am. 21, 22, 23 and 14 says, Jesus condemns the religious leaders. 14 says, okay, where are you? 13. They skipped 14. They omitted
really?
In Matthew's 23 and 14. When it says Jesus condemned the religious leaders, and it started at 13, and what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's face. You won't go in yourselves, but you don't let others enter either. And then it went to 15.
Really? Okay. Wow. Okay. Let me read mine.
Because it says 14, 13 and 14 says, this is the commentary, being a religious leader in Jerusalem was very different from being a pastor in a secular society today. Israel history, culture, and daily life centered around this relationship with God, its relationship with God. The religious leaders were the best known, most powerful, and most respected of all leaders. Jesus made these stinging accusations because the leaders hunger for more power, money, and statue had made them lose sight of God, and their blindness was spreading to the whole nation. Wow.
I got to check. Wait, let me check. Where's my other Bible? Because there's no way they're supposed to. That's why you got to be careful what you're reading. Matthew's 23. Luke, go back. Luke, Matthew 23, Mark. Because, I mean, there is no way you're supposed to skip that. Maybe it was a mistake, I think. Okay, Matthew 23 and 14 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation." That's 14 in Matthew 23. So I don't know how some Bibles.
Oh.
But that's,
you know what? I'm in Luke. I'm trying to follow you. I'm like, that's not what mine is saying.
No, that's Matthew 23:14.
Yeah, I realized that. I'm saying I was in Luke trying to follow you.
Oh, okay. But I don't. It probably was an error.
Well, it happens.
Yeah, it does.
It happens.
Yeah, but I'm glad I got
it's
more
unusual.
Than one Bible.
It's unusual, but apparently it happened. So mine says, and it starts at 13.
Okay.
15, it says, I've had it with you, and the topic of this section is frauds. I've had it with you. You're hopeless. You religion scholars. You Pharisees. Frauds. Your lives are roadblocks to God's kingdom. You refuse to enter and won't let anyone else in either. You're hopeless. You religion scholars and Pharisees. Frauds. You go halfway around the world to make a convert. But once you get him, you make him into a replica of yourself. Double damn.
Woo! My goodness.
So you go halfway around the world to get someone to convert them, but then you try to make them just like you.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't about following the Pharisees. It's about following Jesus.
Amen.
All right. And so they were holding on to those Mosaic laws and the Jewish tradition. It wasn't about that.
No.
He came to bring us new life. Amen. And salvation through him, not through the Mosaic laws and all of that. But anyway,
that's right.
My God. Talk about that sinful nature again. And
there
so,
we go.
Matthew
26 says, you blind Pharisees, first wash the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will become clean too. So you got to wash out all the evilness inside of you so that the outside will be just as clean as the inside.
Well, so that the inside will be just as clean as the outside because you get that outward display like all is well.
Right.
But inside, and I'll read you what mine says. So you want to make the inside match that sparkling exterior.
Uh-huh.
So it seems, unless someone knows you better.
Yeah.
25 through 26 says, you're hopeless. You religion scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You burnish the surface of your cups and bowls so they sparkle in the sun while the insides are maggoty with your greed and gluttony, stupid Pharisees. Scour the insides and then the gleaming surface will mean something. So clean the inside and then the exterior surface will mean something. In the meantime, no, you're frauds. You're frauds.
Amen.
And then let's look at
29. 23
or
29. Okay. 29 says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build tombs for the prophets your ancestors killed, and you decorate the monuments of the godly people your ancestors destroyed. Wow.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
Well, they were worshiping their ancestors more than they did God.
And so they're saying, the Pharisees are saying, had they been alive at that time, they would not have murdered them like that. They wouldn't have done that. So I want to read what mine says, and it goes from 29 through 32. Say, you're hopeless. You religious scholars and Pharisees, frauds. You build granite tombs for your prophets and marble monuments for your saints, and you say that if you had lived in the days of your ancestors, no blood would have been on your hands. You protest too much. You're cut from the same cloth as those murderers and daily add to the death count. So you know better than they were. You know, you say one thing and you do another. And you think that if you had been alive back then, those things would not have happened, but you would have done the same thing. You're cut from the
same cloth. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's look at Mark 8 and 15.
Okay. Mark 7, 8.
Oh, hallelujah.
Come on now. Mark 18 and 15.
Okay. 18 and 15 says, as they were crossing the lake, Jesus warned them, watch out, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And this is still talking about
wrong teachers.
Hypocrisy.
Yes.
The leaven, the sinfulness of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so the next one is Luke 12 and 1.
Okay.
Luke 12 and 1.
12 and 1 says, this is Jesus speaks against hypocrisy. 12 and 1 says, meanwhile, the crowds grew until thousands were milling about and stepping on each other. Jesus turned first to his disciples and warned them, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, their hypocrisy. So he was telling them to be careful of the Pharisees because, like you say, they look good on the outside, but inside is sinful.
And apparently the way they were speaking was something that someone would possibly try to imitate.
Yes.
So mine says, titles is Can't Hide Behind a Religious Mask. By this time, the crowd unwillingly and stepping on each other's toes, numbered into the thousands. But Jesus' primary concern was his disciples. He said to them, watch yourselves carefully so you don't get contaminated with Pharisee yeast, Pharisee phoniness. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your face will be known. You can't whisper one thing in private and preach the opposite in public. The day is coming when those whispers will be repeated all over town.
Wow.
Man.
Hey.
About that sinfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Say one thing, and behind closed doors or across town, you do something different. Amen?
That's right. And those are the Pharisees.
And some of us, don't leave us.
Well, we are
some of us
Pharisees.
Well, hypocrites and frauds.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So we're going to put a pen right here. I said we didn't get too far. We're going to stop section 2 of the Sadducees. Still talking about wrong inward attitudes under leaven. So,
wow!
Praise God! This is a lovely, lovely lesson about new faith.
Absolutely beautiful. I am so sorry that Lady Nadine got to miss this wonderful lesson.
Amen. Amen. So we're gonna go over the homework. Did you find anything new? The subject again is Caiaphas was the high priest.
Yes.
What sect was Pharisee or otherwise? What sect was he, I should have said? Pharisee or otherwise?
Oh, listen, look at that. You are going to live a long time.
He's arrived.
Because I was just telling
Barbara
that you missed this beautiful, beautiful lesson.
Oh, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you.
I was just saying, I'm so sorry that she missed this beautiful lesson. And here you appear. Isn't God wonderful?
Here she comes.
Woo!
Here she comes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Talking about leaven. What is leaven to you? What is leaven to you? I don't want to stop your flow, but getting back to the lesson for a moment before we review the homework. What is leaven to you? Nadine, because we went through it already.
11?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
That sustaining bread, you talk about the leaven, the sustaining bread that God provided the Israelites in the wilderness.
Okay, that's sustaining bread. But what is leaven itself?
Oh, isn't it a bread?
And thank you for joining us, I have to say. Okay, what is it, Evangelist Hilda? Let her know.
It's a substance, a typical yeast that is added to raise up the bread.
To make it rise.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's so a leaven.
It's a yeast.
Yes.
Leaven is a yeast, but in the lesson, they call it a sinfulness.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
That was what was wrong with the Pharisees, and we only did like one paragraph because it was a lot of scripture, but I wanted to get to the homework assignment. But the leaven is that sinfulness that causes people to... They may be tithers, but there's still something wrong with them. They may be fasting and praying, but still something missing.
Mm-hmm.
All of that kind of thing. If you get a moment, just kind of look at section C of this particular lesson. And again, we only did one paragraph, so it's not a whole lot of stuff to look at. But we're going to look at the homework assignment, and I'm going to ask you to do it first. We're reviewing it.
Okay.
And I was asking Evangelist Hilda, don't say anything. I want her to say something first.
You know what? I just wanted to say to you that, you know, the fact that you mentioned leaven, because the book that I am reading, I know that had come to me. The book is called Pleasing God. And one of the chapters, the title is Beware of the Leaven of the Pharisees.
Wow. That's the thing we just got off of. The leaven of the, that's what we were talking about. That whole topic was about the Pharisees and the leaven in that. Evangelist Hilda, tell her again what we said about the cup being.
You wash the inside first before you wash the outside.
You got it backwards.
You wash. Oh, wait a minute. Now I know that. Okay, so
you wash the outside. I got it. Give it to me. You wash the exterior of the cup.
Yes.
But the inside of the cup. So these are the Pharisees. They look good. They say they can teach. They They look right and all of that, but the inside is maggoty. They're nasty inside. As I read, the last thing is that you can be one thing in front of your students, but when you go to the other side of town, when nobody sees you or knows you, then the true you comes out.
Yes.
That's fraudulent. That's hypocrisy. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're talking about. Sinful nature of the Pharisees in this case. We're going to get to the Sadducees and the Herodotes also. Herodotes, I don't have it in front of me. But we're going to get to them next time, God willing. But right now, oh, man, this was a wonderful lesson. Wonderful lesson. Okay, we're going to go to the homework, and you have the first way
to
share it. Caiaphas was the high priest. What sect was he, Pharisee or otherwise?
Well, from what I looked up, it said that he was probably a Sadducee, because the Sadducees were the party of the high priest, the aristocratic families, and the wealthier of the population.
Okay, so you're saying Caiaphas. Go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, just saying that he was a Sadducee.
A Sadducee.
Sadducee.
Okay. Evangelist, give us your take.
I have that, from my work, that he was also a member of the ruling Jewish sect. The Sadducees were often wealthy men of high position, and as they members of the party, like Lady Nadine said, that he was a member of the Sadducees, and however you say his name, and the New World Encyclopedia says that Caiaphas was the son-in-law of Ananias, a previous...
Ananias.
Okay. A previous high priest who had also succeeded in placing several of his own. And then I also, in the Wikipedia, says that Annas and Caiaphas may have sympathized with the Sadducees, a religious movement in Judea that found most of its members among the wealthy Jewish elite. I mean, it has a lot, but it's different, you know, histories. It has the Jewish temples, that he was also the high priest of the Jewish temples as a member of the Sadducees.
But what sect was he from? That's the question. What sect was he from?
He was a Pharisee.
Oh, you changed.
But I'm saying that he was also was with the Sadducees.
Ask him who he was with. I said, what was he?
Oh, he was a Pharisee.
Thank you. I said last week. We know you had said he was a Sadducee, but let me read you what I wrote, and it's a little bit, you know.
Okay.
His name was Joseph Caiaphas.
Yes.
He was the high priest over the Sanhedrin, which was a court of 71 sages, meaning 71 wise men, that met on 6 occasions in chamber of the hewn stones in the Jerusalem temple, and was presided over by 2 officials. It was a religious legislative body whence the law, Halakha, goes out to all Israel. Politically, it could appoint the king and the high priest, a false prophet, a rebellious elder. Okay, let me read that again. Politically, it could appoint the king, that's a lot, and the high priest, a false prophet, a rebellious elder, or an errant tribe. Religiously, it supervised certain rituals, including Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Liturgy, the great Sanhedrin also supervised the smaller local Sanhedrins and was the court of last resort. So that makes a lot of sense when we see that when they came to judge Jesus, it was sent to Caiaphas because this was the court of last resort, all right? So the composition of the Sanhedrin is also in much dispute. The controversy involving the participation of the 2 major parties of the day, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Some say the Sanhedrin was made up of Sadducees, some of Pharisees, others of an alternation or mixture of the 2 groups. It ceased to exist at Jerusalem after the disastrous rebellion against Rome in AD 66 through 70. It was assembled at Dabna and later in Palestine, later known as Yeshiva. The Jerusalem council court, considered by some scholars, and I'm almost done. This Sanhedrin ceased with the end of the patriarchate in AD 425, although there have been short-lived attempts to reinstitute the Sanhedrin in modern times. Caiaphas was the son-in-law of Annas, A-N-N-A-S, high mm-hmm. priest from 6 to 15, current epoch, C-E, as a high priest, that's wrong, as a high priest emeritus, he might have served as at the side of Caiaphas. So this is talking about his father-in-law. He might have served at the side of Caiaphas in the Sanhedrin call to resolve the state of Jesus. Caiaphas served as high priest from 18 to 36 CE, Common Era. That's what that means, CE. So Caiaphas was the longest serving high priest they ever had. But
yeah.
My research determined that he was a Pharisee. All right? The Sanhedrin was made up of Sadducees and Pharisees, but Caiaphas happened to be a Pharisee.
That's what it said? Was the Pharisee?
Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I mean, you find alternating, because it makes sense to me for him to be a Sadducee, because that was the party of the high priest.
Right.
The high priest came from that sect. You know, because they were aristocratic and they were wealthy. So
mm-hmm.
it seemed to, you know, to make sense that he would have been a Sadducee. And he didn't appear to be very religious. You know what I'm saying? The Pharisees were religious. He never mm-hmm. appeared to be religious. So that would also...
Why do you say that? Where do you get that?
I don't know. I mean, the fact that the Sadducees were not religious, they really didn't believe in anything except for
they didn't even believe in the resurrection
or anything like that. And he, you know, the way he dealt with Jesus, it just didn't. I mean, that's just my opinion, but I can see.
Well, we have to remember that as the ruler of the Sanhedrin. It was his thought, his decision, his determination, and it seems
right.
here, as we see, along with his father-in-law, to make decisions concerning the last resort cases, all right? I never got a feeling that he was less religious than anybody else. That's why I say, and he's a high priest, so that's religion right there.
No,
you know?
But the high priest comes from the Sadducees sect. Right?
I thought only the Levites
were high priests.
You said what?
That he was a high priest. But you know what? I'm going to add homework is to research the Sadducees. What were the Sadducees? Because what were the Sadducees?
Okay, let me write that
down. That's what I looked up. They were the party of high priests, aristocratic families,
That's homework. And learn how to pronounce it, too? Thank you.
But you know.
You just told me you still got it right.
The New World Encyclopedia, Caiaphas, he was only a member of the party of the Sadducees. So he wasn't a Sadducee.
He can't be a member of the Sadducees if he's not a Sadducee. That's what that means. If he's a member of the Sadducees, then he is a Sadducee.
Excuse me one second. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is the council.
Right. But
and the council consisted, the council consisted of Sadducees and Pharisees. So it's 70
right.
of them and one high priest, which was Caiaphas. And like I said, if Caiaphas was not religious, that's an oxymoron, because why would he be a high priest and not have some religion in him? Okay, so we're going to find out what were the Sadducees, and if you get a moment, let's see what the Pharisees believed. That's what I'm trying to say. What were the Pharisees believed?
And what they believed?
Right. What was their belief?
What?
Oh, yeah. I can tell you their belief. What? I got a whole book of
you may as well, yeah. You may as well throw in the Pharisees also. Mm. What was their belief?
What they believe.
That's a wonderful assignment.
What was the Pharisees? What was their belief?
Belief. All right. So some didn't believe in the resurrection, and some didn't believe in angels. All right. So let's get a little more in depth. God willing, next week we're going to talk about that. But listen, this was a fantastic homework assignment, not to mention a fantastic lesson.
What page?
All right.
What page was it that you guys were on?
248.
We're in chapter 35, and that was on page 248.
Okay, great.
248. Yes. Section C. Wrong inward attitudes. And
okay.
I'd like you to read all of that. You don't have to do the scripture unless you just have time, because there's a lot of scripture in there. But that whole section, and we stopped at part two of the Sadducees, okay?
You did A and B too, right?
Yes.
We did A and B. No, we did. Yeah, we did what's above that, but we did C. We're at section C. Wrong inward attitude. Okay, so we did D tonight. We're in D tonight, and we're on section two next week, God willing, the Sadducees.
Okay, so you did D. Okay, up to
we're
one.
We're in D. We're still in D.
Okay.
Up to the through the Pharisees.
Yeah, I'm going to read it now. Thank you.
And that was very interesting, really, what we learned about, you know, again, that exterior being one thing, but the interior was nasty, was not, you know, it was not pure, it was not clean. And they presented a wonderful exterior.
In a word, it is hypocrisy. It is a false kind of righteousness. It is deception, masquerade of holiness that is a substitute for the real thing.
There
you
go.
That's a quote from the book.
That's what we were saying. They were hypocrites, the Pharisees.
Yep.
Said one thing, talk well, look good, all of that, smell good, but inside, not the real deal.
Right, amen.
Oh, God.
So, ladies, Nadine, take us out, please. Thank you.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful word.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just thank you and praise you, Lord God, for this lesson, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit giving me the insight to come on, Lord God.
Thank
and praise you, Lord God, because
you're
so awesome, Lord God. And,
mm-hmm.
and we love you so much, Lord God. We thank you for Sister Paul, Lord God, who is so stimulates us, Lord God, to want to know more, learn more about you, Lord God. We just thank and praise you for her, Lord God. And we thank you and praise you for this lesson, for this time, Lord God, that we have to spend together to delve into your word, Lord God, and then delve a little further, Lord God, where there are questions, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you. I thank you for Sister Evangelist Hilda, Lord God. Continue to bless you, Lord God. Continues to keep this line open, Lord God. Just put your arms around her, Lord God, because she is so committed, Lord God, to this ministry, and we just thank and praise you for her. So, Lord God, we give special blessings to everyone who has listened in, Lord God, and we ask, Lord God, for an increase that will be more to come and listen in, Lord God.
My Lord.
We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Ladies, it's been so nice. Very nice. Love you all.
Love you too.
I'll allow you to close us out.
See you guys tomorrow, God's willing, and we are willing.
Amen.
Night. I love you guys.
Love you too.
We
just say.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom. On that note, we are out.